Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Kevin McCashin, who's a radio host in the city of Albany. So, Kevin, what do you think is going to happen on Tuesday?
God, going it's gonna be forward. Exciting. I know that. Going to be an exciting election. I think just like 2016, they are underestimating Trump, and I think he's going to pull it out. I think it's going to be super close, though. I think it'll probably be the same thing where the popular vote goes to Biden and the Electoral College vote goes to Trump. So, and then I think we'll have a lot of chaos again. I mean, if the riots were bad this summer, wait till Trump gets reelected.
God. God,
I hope in the city of Albany they pay attention a little bit more and maybe can close it down. You know, if there's any incidents or getting ready for looting, if they could help out the poor small business owners in the city of Albany, so they don't have to go through the destruction and theft that they did before.
And that happened in Troy also, right?
No, there's no looting in Troy, but we did have. They claimed it was an 11,000 person rally, and maybe it was 5,000, 6,000, but they said 11,000. Usually, it was about the same size crowd we have for Rockin' on the River, which used to be the concert events before the pandemic started. And the turnout there, it looked basically like the same thing. But regardless, they didn't. There was no looting or no real violence. I mean, they sort of tied up police forces and killed our overtime budget, and there were some minor arrests. Nothing too bad. A little typical confrontations, and a couple of Black Lives Matter activists got arrested. They just had a couple of more arrests for trespassing on an eviction story. So kind of interesting. But I think the problem is this media is so lopsided and one-sided that they're deluding themselves. And I still think there's big trouble with the polling. I don't think the polls are as accurate because I think there's some reluctance for people to say that they support Donald Trump to a pollster. I mean, as a libertarian sort of conservative Republican, I don't think I would waste time answering a poll. So I think either that or people are deliberately misleading the pollsters because they had it so crazy in 2016. And if you go into the, what I look at for polling is the, and obviously we're recording this before, so we're going to see if I'm right or wrong on Tuesday, right? And so if you go into what everybody uses is the Real Clear Politics average. So it's an average of the polls for each one. And if you dig into, if you look at the Electoral College, remember, because we're not, everybody likes to say democracy, but we're not a democracy. We have the Electoral College, which is essentially anti-democratic in the sense of just straight popular vote. And the civics aren't taught in high school anymore, so people don't understand this. They don't understand why you would want to have a republic, why you wouldn't want just majority vote to do things. But that's a bigger discussion of how bad public schools are. And so the one thing that there's a couple things that you would look at that would support a thesis that Trump would win. First of all, you got to look at the Electoral College, and and then the polling I looked at, which kind of made me think he's in better shape than before, was all the polls in the swing states that Trump wound up winning had Clinton up, and those same pollsters and the same average, for the most part, it's the same average. 2016 is 2020 because the same polls are mostly around. Some of the polls went away. Remember, nobody in the polls predicted Trump. The closest one was the 538 poll, and he gave it about a 28% chance of winning. because everybody just sort of ignored the Electoral College, or they call it the shy Trump voter, which is basically people just aren't talking to the pollsters, or so they say. So the polls where Hillary Clinton was ahead in states she lost, swing states that she lost, Joe Biden is not even as ahead as far as Hillary was. So very few pollsters got 2016 correct. Very few pollsters. And so the Real Clear Politics poll of all polls, which is a national poll, which if it was just a majority vote, it might tell you something. But when you have weighted averages, national polling's no good. You got to look at the states, because the national polling can be up unless the methodology is, you know, really clear and you really have to dig into it. You know, Trump down by 7-8 points. Well, you know, Hillary lost. What did Hillary lose the popular vote? Or Hillary won the popular vote, and it wasn't by 7 or 8. And I don't see people shifting that much. I mean, unless they're disaffected Bernie people that are going to vote for Trump just to screw Biden. I don't see any Trump supporter that would switch over to Biden. It's just the swing stuff in the swing voters in the middle, or the independents in the middle, which are typically, you know, 3% of the electorate. 3% of the electorate, people who haven't made up their mind. But, you know, Hillary won 48% of the vote. Trump had 46% of the vote. And I think this morning I was listening to NPR, and across the spectrum, your MSNBC, your CNN, they're all worried that the black vote's not turning out for Biden. You know, so you have a big flurry of these, you know, and it's kind of disingenuous. You have celebrities. It kind of makes me cringe when people say that the black community is represented by 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, and Ice Cube. But, you got the Hollywood star power on the other side, but, you know, how enthusiastic are they for Biden? And can you tell the difference between enthusiasm being dampened because of the pandemic or enthusiasm being dampened because he's not a populist like Bernie? You know, so I don't see, you know, anything possible. Of course, I'm going to write in Barry Goldwater in New York State, because New York State, the vote doesn't matter. Like you said, if you're looking to vote today, you might want to vote on a third party line, right? Because on the far left and the far right and the Libertarian Party is arguing for the same thing. Cuomo's change, or the change, at least in the rules, is the third party lines are in trouble. Because you need 5,000 votes for your candidate to maintain that ballot seat, and now it's been raised to 130. Yeah, that was before 50,000. Now it's 130, right?
I've heard 200,000.
I'm not sure. I'll look it up right now. But you know, so regardless, those parties are under assault. You know, any chance for diversity or any influence. I have no problem with people voting third. I have no problem with people voting third party or people not voting, and you may also have low voter turnout. You know, they're talking about this early election stuff and the heavy turnout, but you got to wait and see till it's over. You know, go ahead.
I think the two most underreported stories over the past few months is, you know, the raising from like 50,000 to over, I've heard 200,000. I mean, that is going to stifle every third party voice there is. And, you know, in the past, in American history, third parties have made a difference. And let me say this about third parties in New York State. If it wasn't for Jason West Newport, there would be no same-sex marriages today. Jason West is a Green. So the Greens have influenced society, and the powers that be want to stifle it, right? What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, Cuomo's big thing is he is afraid of the Working Family Party, you know, on that end. And the Green Party obviously has influence too. And so, it's 130,000 is what it is,
right?
Or 2% of the vote. So they changed the ballot access laws in April, you know, this one-party system that we have now, and they're trying to change it so they just have one-party rule forever. So previously, if a party won an automatic slot on the ballot for 4 years, if its gubernatorial candidate received 50,000 votes, a party must now qualify every 2 years to win an automatic ballot line. Its candidate for president and governor must receive 130,000 votes or 2%, whichever is greater.
Right.
And so the only one who's really been able to do that is, you know, I think maybe the Conservative Party.
Okay.
And so in Howie Hawkins had 103,000 votes in his 2018 gubernatorial election.
Okay.
He thinks he can get 180. In 2016, New Yorkers 7.7 million votes. And Trump's not going to win, obviously. You know, we hear on the right wishful thinking, because I'm on right-wing talk radio. But, you know, you hear wishful thinking Trump's going to win New York State. Trump's not going to win New York State. In fact, none of the local candidates are going to beat any of the incumbents at all, I would guess. And, you know, it's just what has been done to change anything? Nothing, really. You know, I don't see any voter registration drives that are bigger. If anything, Albany County, they had stories that it got more Democratic. And, you know, Joe Jorgensen on the Libertarian line, I don't even think she'll pull as much as the last crew did. So, you know, and Howie's campaign hasn't been super huge nationally either. Do you see, as a green sort of person, do you see him bigger than Jill Stein? I mean, I like him because he's local, but I don't see him as mounting a national campaign bigger than Jill Stein.
Unfortunately, I agree with you.
Yeah. You know, which is kind of sad. You know, it's a long day from, I think, Cynthia, I think 1 year, you know, when I was kind of trying to figure out what I was, I think I voted for Jerry, or for who's our friend there? Nader, Ralph Nader.
Okay.
2008. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just sort of have this thing, but I would never, you know, I think third parties can be a spoiler, and that's good. That's the way it should be. These parties have no right to have only two parties in existence. In fact,
right.
You know, parties go out of power. Parties disappear. The Whig Party disappeared.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, maybe something like that's going on. I don't see a big movement for it. But, you know, it's just this ballot access stuff. It's garbage. You know, this is a typical New York City New York State, you know, one party rule. And they're going to just try to push it even more, you know. So it's disappointing
thing,
for sure.
The one thing that, you know, I watch the TV and I listen and I read and I'm really shocked. South Carolina. Up until South Carolina, Biden was sinking like a rock.
Yes.
And then in South Carolina, all of a sudden he won, and within days the entire establishment embraced him. Okay, why is it that people don't remember that and remember the you know, remember Biden and this whole false narrative? I find it so disgusting.
Well, or how does Kamala go from bashing Biden as a racist in the primary to being his running mate?
Right.
You know, and doesn't that resonate with people? You know what I mean? Like, so I would assume a lot of the Bernie people now are going to go for Howie. But you had a lot of Bernie people go for Trump because they like the trade and the immigration stuff. And his trade policies have included unions. You know, they've included the unions and try to maintain the union jobs. So, you know, Trump is really has no ideology. He, you know, he's not going to mess with stuff too much. You know, he's going to do what it takes to get in power and to maintain that. You know, it's interesting. I mean, I do like the economic nationalism. I think we should take care of America first domestically. Mm-hmm. He hasn't started any really big new wars.
Right.
And he's looking at some sort of Middle East piece stuff. I mean, I know we're still doing our, you know, we still have, you know, whatever it is, 700 bases in 140 countries. I mean, we still have an empire, but, you know, he didn't create the empire. Like I said,
right.
There's no war. You know, they assassinated the guy from Iran, but there's no new war with Iran. We're not invading Iran. He didn't pull a George Bush where he gets us in his quagmire. You know, they say he's you know, kind of panders to these guys like in North Korea. But, I mean, what do you want? What's the alternative? You want a war with North Korea? What, are you crazy? You know? So,
uh-huh.
In that sense, he's been the first president in a long time not to cause a new conflict. You know, and hey, listen, you know, the stuff that we don't know that goes on is still going on. The private contractors, I'm sure, are still going on. All that Jeremy Scahill stuff. But, I mean, the media hasn't really helped. You know, if you look at the resignation, do you follow Glenn Greenwald? So
not
Glenn
too
Greenwald,
much.
Yeah, well, Glenn Greenwald was the one that, you know, he works for the UK Guardian. He got all the Edward Snowden publications, all the Edward Snowden documents published, saying how the national security state was spying on us all and violating the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. Well, he started that other newspaper with Jeremy Scahill. He comes to the Sanctuary for Independent Media, you know, the other micro FM over in Troy.
Right.
And all those guys, and Glenn Greenwald and Julian Assange. Assange spoke remotely at the Sanctuary for Independent Media before he was a wanted man. And so he had this publication that they started, or this newspaper, the website, The Intercept, and he resigned from it because all these people, and The Intercept was a big Bernie, big Bernie, big working, if you go to The Intercept, big Bernie Sanders and big Working Family Party supporters in New York State, because it's based out of New York City. He just resigned because he was writing about how Facebook and Twitter were censoring the New York Post stories on these Biden corruption allegations, which are going to prove out to be legitimate. You know, it's not nonsense. It's legitimate because Republicans and Democrats both do it. They both profit off their influence and get involved in this. You know, every senator leaves and they wind up being a millionaire. You know, Joe Biden earned $400,000 or $300,000, $400,000 as VP. The next year he gets out, he earns $3 million. The year after that, he earns $11 million, you know? And it ain't from publishing some book. I don't even know if he has a book. And so, you know, this guy, Glenn Greenwald, founded The Intercept, and he writes a story about, you know, being concerned about this big tech monopoly that we have, censoring independent voices. And they say, no, you can't be critical of Biden. The founder of the website, his own editors. No, you got to take anything out critical of Biden. And these people were Bernie people, you know, before the South Carolina and the takeover. You know, and sadly, Bernie didn't even hit Biden hard. I wish he did. You know, so he didn't have a good debate.
The other day on TV, I can't even believe it. I saw Sanders stumping for Biden. I said, what, are you crazy?
Yeah,
you know?
Well, he did it the last time, though.
Oh.
You know, and so the idea is with the AOC and the progressives, they think they can push Biden, you know, in the right direction. Well, the Wall Street money's on Biden. You know, Goldman Sachs gives more to Biden than they did to Trump.
Right.
You know, so it's the trillionaires against the billionaire, I guess, you know, and really they got both administrations under control. You know that. I mean, these guys come in from Goldman Sachs, Mnuchin, you know, you have this big thing where Mnuchin's negotiating with Pelosi. Well, Mnuchin's Goldman Sachs buddies and all the Wall Street guys, they love debt. So the socialism is going hand in hand with the big crony capitalism. And the reason why is this. The welfare state subsidizes, you know, so if you look at, and this has been a left critique for a while, which is good. The welfare state subsidizes workers at Walmart so they can underpay them, right? And then the rest of the tax structure makes up with it, with DSS supplements and stuff like that. And
right.
it allows Walmart or Target to profit more largely because they can underpay the wages. They don't have to pay a living wage because the welfare state will make it up. And so that's the direction you're headed in. Hey, well, why would these big corporations support you know, these movements or social movements or Black Lives Matter or something like that. And it's because they know that they can use big government to subsidize their low wages and they can maintain their profits. And so that's the direction everything's headed.
So let's talk about two different scenarios. One is Trump, if Trump wins, and the other one if Biden wins. If Trump wins, will there be a lot of chaos in the streets?
Yeah, I think so. But they'll get it under control pretty fast. You know,
what
the question is here's the question. Is it going to be decided on election night or not, where the chaos can really come in? Because if you go back to the year 2000, right? And so I think people right now are more apt to violence and more prone to violence because of all the summer, the riots over the summer. So that genie's kind of out of that genie's out of the bottle. The bad behavior, the ability to go loot, and you know, I mean, if you look at the latest Philadelphia riots and looting, they're down there in Philadelphia. They blew up over 30 ATMs. So you have regular criminals who are ready to go when the police are tied up to do stuff. And so I think you're going to see it one way or the other. There's going to be some chaos no matter what happens. And you know, from what I'm seeing, some of the far left revolutionaries are going to push Biden. But I really don't see Biden winning. But you wouldn't have any – if Biden won clear and fair, you're not going to have any riots from the right. That's not going to happen at all. It never does. Didn't happen under Obama. It didn't happen under Obama, and it's not going to happen if Biden wins. Not going to happen at all.
I recently had a conversation with Scott Ritter, and he said that. Oh my God, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry.
Do you think it's going to be peaceful transition or not?
No, he sees violence. He sees violence down the road. And unfortunately, I think he might be right.
Yeah, I only see violence if Trump wins. And so, remember, the year 2000, the election wasn't decided until December.
Right.
So you had... You know, so you would have that period of a month of chaos, you know. And so, you know, if Biden wins, I don't really see any chaos. But if Trump wins, definitely going to be chaos because there was this summer, and there's no reason they didn't do it. Now the question is, you know, why would a guy like Cuomo allow his state, which is going to elect Joe Biden 2-1, why would he allow that violence to go on? Or the city of Albany, you know? Why wouldn't they crack that down sooner? Maybe they couldn't handle it. Maybe they didn't expect it. But now you can expect it. I mean, the National Guard's got a couple 500 or 600-man battalions ready to go to any state that's ready to go. But I would think everybody would be ready for this stuff. I mean, there's nothing wrong with peaceful protests. But, you know, like they were doing in Albany, to loot people's liquor stores or some poor...
Yeah.
You know, Syrian refugees, bodega on the corner. It's unconscionable, you know? So you had George W. Bush.
Yep.
50 million votes, 50.4. And you had Gore 50.9. And he won 271. You need 270 to win, 271 to 266 in that. And Nader, that was the year Nader.
Right.
2.4%. You know, they call him a spoiler, but it's not. It's good. You know, the only reason why a Nader wouldn't be in their party is because they're not doing the right thing. You know,
it might be 269. In that case, Biden would win, right?
No, it'd go to the go. It would go to the Senate, and Pence would vote. There'd be a tiebreaker.
It goes to the House, not the Senate.
To the House, right.
And if it's in the House, Pelosi will make sure that Biden wins, I would assume.
Right.
You know? So
yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, in 2000, you know, they didn't figure it out until early in December. But I don't, I don't see, is Biden going to do better than Hillary in Florida? Oh, you know, they're trying to scare everybody with the COVID. And they're, you know, and obviously they're saying Florida has, you know, the majority of voters are senior citizens anyways. They always are. The kids don't vote. But like I said, you know, the polling is all off. Even the polls where they showed Trump was up in 2016 performed what they said he was up. So you just don't know. Right? You know, it's kind of weird because with the coronavirus, you can't see if they have, you know, if Biden would have big rallies. But I can't see anybody getting enthusiastic over Biden. The guy can barely speak.
I remember what Scott said now, that if Trump wins,
yep,
the whole Democratic establishment will be in shambles. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, it should be. Yeah. Yeah, because they've had the whole media on their side. They did the impeachment sham. And now you
right.
have the same sort of accusations against Joe Biden, and nobody's looking at it. You know, the American people are, oh, I don't know. I mean, listen, if I only listened to NPR, CNN, MSNBC, you know, you'd be a Biden person too and think that Trump was Hitler. But, you know, I look all over the place and I see, you see what, you know, I mean, the Trump people are pretty fanatical. I mean, they're doing driving around on boats and driving around in cars. And it's like, you know, he's going to get crushed in New York State, but they're still indefatigable in New York State even. You know, but they just don't have the numbers in New York to do anything. It's not going to be like Reagan. Reagan won it in 84, I think. But those days are long gone because everybody's left the state, you know. Hey, yeah, they can't
wow.
even hold the Senate, you know.
So we have like 45 seconds left. Most of your listeners, would you say, are Trump supporters?
Yeah, well, the ones who call in are, but that's not necessarily a reflection. I mean, the market is heavily Democratic, and the Democrats listen to no, you know, there's no other local talk show in the afternoon. So they have to listen. They have
wow.
to listen because I'm usually going to tell them what we're going to do, you know, whether it's
yeah,
go after
right.
Dan McCoy or anything else. You know, people like local.
Right.
And that's why micro FMs like this Grand Street Arts is great. It's great, and people like that conversation still. It's not all
thanks.
Facebook and Twitter censored, you know?
So we have a couple of seconds left. Give yourself a little plug, Kevin.
Sure. I'm on it's called Road Rage, and it's Talk 1300 AM and 98.7 FM or at Talk1300.com, 3 to 6, Monday through Friday.
And you stream live, right?
Yeah, we stream live. Go right to the website, talk1300.com.
Thanks so much, Kevin. We'll talk after the election. You've been listening
okay,
to Kevin Patrick. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is all this election. Have a great day. Thank you, everybody, for listening.